The trial of former Balch Springs police officer Roy Oliver continues today in Dallas. He's facing murder charges for shooting into a car full of teenagers leaving a party last year, killing 15-year-old Jordan Edwards. It's one of several controversial police shootings of unarmed blacks. But as Christopher Connolly of member station KERA reports, it's rare that one of them makes it like this to court.
Shortly after Roy Oliver shot and killed Jordan Edwards, he was fired from his job. And not long after that, Dallas County District Attorney Faith Johnson charged him with murder.
As we move forward, my office continues to be committed to seeking justice for Jordan and his family.
Phil Stinson says that's really uncommon. He's a criminologist at Bowling Green State University in Ohio who used to be a police officer. Stinson studies what happens when police commit crimes, and he says when an officer shoots and kills someone without legal justification, it's illegal.
By my count, only 93 officers across the country have been charged with murder or manslaughter resulting from an on-duty shooting. Just 93 over about 14 years.
Nationwide, Stinson says police shoot and kill between 900 and 1,000 people each year in the line of duty. Many of those shootings are justified and therefore legal, but a lot of highly controversial cases also don't make it to court. That includes officers who killed Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, Tamir Rice in Cleveland, and Alton Sterling in Baton Rouge. Of those 93 officers who have been charged over the last 14 years with illegally shooting and killing someone in the line of duty,
only 32 of those officers to date have actually been convicted of a crime, 16 by guilty plea, 16 by jury trial.
Even in cases where there seems to be overwhelming evidence, Stinson says prosecutors face a number of legal, social, and institutional challenges to securing a conviction. For one, the laws governing whether an officer is allowed to use lethal force are pretty broad.
The standard that the United States Supreme Court has laid down is that an officer is justified in using deadly force if that officer has a reasonable apprehension of an imminent threat of serious bodily injury or deadly force being used against the officer or someone else.
Basically, if officers fear for their lives or the lives of others, they're allowed to shoot and kill a suspect. It's a standard that tilts in favor of officers, according to Brian Owsley. He's a law school professor from the University of North Texas at Dallas, and he says there's reason for that.
Let's be clear. Law enforcement officers, police officers, have a very difficult job, and they're called upon to make decisions in split seconds.
That standard means prosecutors have to convince juries that the officer acted intentionally or negligently to kill someone, and that it wasn't reasonable that the officer feared for their life. So,
often, prosecutors are hesitant to even bring charges.
Owsley says prosecutors work hand in glove with local police departments, which can act as an institutional deterrent to bringing charges against one of those department's officers. Pamela Metzger, who runs the Deason Criminal Justice Reform Center at Southern Methodist University, says it's simply human.
Prosecutors build up long-term meaningful relationships with their investigators, with their police officers. So it's very difficult from a cognitive perspective to say, hey, these guys we've been working with all these years, they're killers, right? Nobody wants to believe that.
Even when prosecutors do pursue charges, convincing a jury or a judge that the officer broke the law when they killed a person is tough. Metzger says that's partly because most people, especially wealthier and white people, tend to give the police the benefit of the doubt.
We start with a general presumption of good faith. Now, that's not always the way every community feels, but as a society, right, that's our cultural narrative.
Metzger says we really don't know what happens when juries deliberate, but these are tough cases to consider. And a guilty verdict in Texas and most of the rest of the country requires a unanimous decision.
We only give jurors two choices, guilty, not guilty. We don't give them, we wish you'd done a better job. We don't give them, you need to be retrained. We don't give them, you're guilty, but we don't think it's the same as a hitman-style murder. Those are not on the menu.
Metzger says the district attorney in this case has video evidence and police testimony on her side, but it's far from a sure thing that it'll be enough to convict Roy Oliver. For Here and Now, I'm Christopher Connolly in Dallas.
And we want to look now at one aspect of the State Department's J-1 visa program. It's billed as a cultural exchange visa, but many families use it legally to hire au pairs, foreign child care providers. The host families get inexpensive child care, and the young people get to come to the U.S. to study because the visa requires 6 post-secondary education credits. And for some, that's what happens. But a new national report shortchanged the big business behind the low-wage J-1 au pair program. Says au pairs forced to work 24 hours a day for little pay, and they rarely get the educational opportunities.